The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, the special Sabbath edition. This is our fifth week in a row. It may well be our last week. Hopefully, there's some signs, at least in the U.S., that things might be on the way to returning to normal, if we can call it that. In any event, it's been great to join you this Sabbath afternoon or Saturday morning, wherever you happen to be on earth, as you listen to this program. As I've told you recently, the numbers that we're getting for these weekend programs have been quite good. So it's great to, even in the midst of a lockdown, to see so many of people, so many of God's people band together. Speaking of programs, too, I might just refer you to the one that we produced for television here in the UK. These are not normal times. We had a radio show a few weeks back that went by that same title, I believe. In any event, this is the show that we produced for TV here in the UK. Unfortunately, it didn't get approved. It has, obviously, covering the coronavirus is a pretty sensitive topic anywhere in the world, but I think especially so here in the UK. But if you'd like to see that, of course, you can watch it at our website, thetrumpet.com. I think I'd like to begin with some of the latest stats, the mortality rates, the overall death rate in the United States. This is not COVID-19. This is not coronavirus only. This is the total number of people week in and week out in the United States. And as I've mentioned a time or two before, on average, every week in the U.S., there's about 50 to 57 or 58,000 people that die. And you can see from this chart that we're putting up on the YouTube stream that to this point in 2020, it's been lower than the past 2 years. So far of the 14 weeks, now, one thing I've noticed from, because we ran some of these numbers, I think a week or so ago, is that these numbers put out by the CDC are updated each week, and sometimes they go back several weeks to update some of the statistics. So I've noticed, as I've kept track of this, that even figures from 4 and 5 weeks ago will go up. So that number at the bottom right there, 49,292, that's ending the week of, I think it's April 4th. And you can see far to the lower right there that that was the first week where there was a substantial number of COVID-19 deaths, 6,247, as it says there on the chart. So that would indicate that these numbers are about to really skyrocket. And to this point, as I say, they haven't. I think compared to 2018, every single week this year, there have been fewer deaths in the United States than just 2 years ago, and even compared to last year. 2 years ago, 2 years ago, of course, was the big flu epidemic that nobody really knew about. And then last year, that was a normal year. And as far as comparing that to this year, you have to go back to week one and week two of this year to have numbers that are just a little bit higher than last year. Every week since, it's been lower. So we'll certainly keep you posted on this, because if we're just to go with what we've been told, we should see these numbers pretty much skyrocket in the next few weeks that the CDC gives us stats on. So we'll come back to that maybe in the weeks ahead. But I think it's important to just stay on top of this, because there are those who are saying that, well, we've got to go back and kind of backtrack and try to calculate all of the COVID-19 deaths from February or maybe even January. I've seen more and more commentators saying that the disease has been with us since November even of last year, certainly December. And if that's the case, then the overall statistics would indicate that it really made no discernible difference on the overall death rate. And we'll see, as I say, if these weeks that we're in the midst of right now, these April weeks, are going to make a significant dent or difference in the overall figures. You'll remember that quote from Neil Ferguson, the one that backtracked pretty significantly. He came out with the model that scared the United States and Britain into lockdown action. And then he came out later, not much later, I think 36 hours into the lockdown here in the UK, and said that, well, it might actually be around 20,000 or actually even much less than 20,000. And we might not even notice much of a difference as far as the overall rate is concerned, because most of these people, a half or maybe two-thirds of them, were about to die anyway. That's what he noted back on March 26th. I've pointed out before a few times, I'll refer you back to the program we did on April 3rd, the fact that depending on what study you're looking at, as many as 90 to 99% of all COVID-19 deaths, there's at least one serious underlying health condition, things like heart disease or diabetes or lung disease of some kind, and of course, high-risk obesity. Those do factor into the overwhelming majority of the COVID-19 deaths. My family, we got together to watch this documentary the other night. I think it was produced down in New Zealand. But it's titled, Is Sugar the New Fat? And basically, it's this commentator going through, talking to doctors, talking to people that have changed their diet, going into these clinics, seeing what kind of an impact our Western diet is having on our people. And it's... Some of the scenes were quite difficult to watch, in particular these little children that have been drinking so much soda from day one that their teeth literally rot, and they have to go in and have their front teeth, in some cases, four, five, six of their teeth extracted, just pulled out. These are little 2 or 3 year old babies, basically toddlers, that are being brought up on sugary drinks. Just drinking tons and tons of sugar. And as my wife and I were saying after this, that's kind of like on the exterior, you know, what's happening to your teeth, but what does that mean for the internal organs of these little ones? And then you zoom out and look at our society as a whole. This movie also had scenes of patients in hospitals on dialysis, this procedure that tries to cleanse the blood. Most of them are diabetics, I guess it is. But the video pointed out the link between our Western sugary diets and kidney disease, heart disease, diabetes. I heard a commercial the other day for one of the states in the U.S. saying that nearly half the adults in that state are pre-diabetic. In other words, they're on the way to being a type 2 level diabetes. And that's because of our Western diet. These are modern diseases, as Herbert Armstrong wrote about. These are not the kinds of diseases that human beings struggled with centuries ago. This is particularly prevalent in our day because of obviously what we're consuming. This documentary, by the way, it interviewed this U.S. doctor, this American doctor, Dr. Robert Lustig, and I don't have a clip from the documentary, but this is one that I found online. It's from a 2012 episode of 60 Minutes. As it happens, Mr. Lustig is being interviewed by Sanjay Gupta of CNN. He's the one we've talked about in recent weeks that was first to declare a pandemic, basically, on behalf of CNN. And anyway, this goes back 8 years or so, and here's Sanjay Gupta interviewing this doctor who also made an appearance on this documentary from New Zealand. This is clip 5.
Dr. Robert Lustig is a pediatric endocrinologist at the University of California, San Francisco, and a pioneer in what is becoming a war against sugar.
Deep breaths.
Motivated by his own patients, too many sick and obese children, Dr. Lustig has concluded that sugar, more than any other substance, is to blame.
What are all these various diseases that you say are linked to sugar?
Obesity, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, and heart disease itself.
Lustig says the American lifestyle is killing us.
And most of it, you say, is preventable.
75% of it is preventable.
That's Dr. Lustig on that 60 Minutes program from 8 years ago, saying how that we could prevent all of this if we would just change what we're doing, if we would just change our diet. Now, that same segment from 60 Minutes, it goes on to talk about how that sugar is also a cancer-causing agent. And then there's another expert later on in the segment that talks about how addictive it is. And that kind of like with a drug, the more you take or more you consume, the more you want or the more that you have to sort of get your sugar fix. And this switching over to the documentary, this documentary we saw, the host, he appeared to be pretty fit. He thought he was, but he had himself checked up and found out that he was consuming quite a bit more sugar than he even realized. And I think that's the way it is with most of us, even those of us that think we maybe don't consume that much refined sugar or high fructose syrup, that sort of thing. There's all kinds of sugars in the Western diet. But chances are, particularly if you're in America where everything has sugar in it, you probably consume a fair bit more sugar than you realize. Now, again, that's important. As I was watching that video the other night, and this, of course, is happening right in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, it just kind of occurred to me that really the significance of this pandemic, this infectious disease, at least what should be significant, is that it's exposing the real problems with all of us and how susceptible we are to infectious disease because of the so-called underlying diseases. And that's really what should be spotlighted. Because if you think about it, if everybody, we just came out of Passover in the days of unleavened bread, but what if on earth today, if everyone in our nations was as fit, physically fit and healthy as Jesus Christ was, would this kind of a disease have any impact whatsoever? I'll show you or demonstrate a link between diet and disease from Mr. Armstrong here in just a bit. But just coming back to some of the things I've played in recent weeks, I played a clip 2 weeks ago, I think it was, this doctor in New Jersey. He was on one of the programs on Fox and said that of all the people that were in his clinic, every single one of them that was being intubated or on a ventilator, in other words, or else was in serious condition or had died, that every single one of them had some serious underlying problems. And this doctor drew attention to diabetes and obesity in particular. Now, on April 3rd, I spent the better part of a program talking about the importance of exercise. I mentioned that other documentary. I don't want to just keep plugging all these things I've seen, but the motivation factor, an inspiring documentary about the importance of physical exercise. That's in the April 3rd Trumpet Daily program, the most vulnerable targets of COVID-19, the unhealthy and disease-stricken. So that was the focus there. Today, I want to focus more on what we eat. I want to focus more on the Western diet. And again, if you're observing all that's happening and actually scratching a little bit beneath the surface, a proper response to this COVID-19 crisis should be, what can we do? What can I personally do to improve my underlying health condition? What can I do to strengthen my immune system so that I'm not as susceptible to disease, whether it's COVID-19 or the annual flu or the head cold that I know I struggle with a fair bit? What can I do to improve those underlying conditions? This is from Herbert Armstrong in 1971. He said, the very first trouble with our deteriorating physical status is that we take sickness for granted. We seem to assume sickness is natural and necessary. A cold or fever, he says, is merely a sudden, violent elimination of toxins and poisons that you have injected into your body by wrong diet, which has broken God's physical laws. Now, you're going to notice from some of these quotes that I read to you today, this is Herbert Armstrong writing back 50, 60, 70 years ago. And boy, is this content needed today, desperately so. We hear so much in the news right now about contagions, disease, the flu, hospital beds, hospitals being overwhelmed, drugs. Will this drug work? Will this drug not work? Ventilators. We need a vaccine. We hear a lot about those things. We hear almost nothing about the cause of sickness to begin with. We hear nothing about the laws of radiant health. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. We hear nothing about cause and effect. It's just all about, well, the effect only. It's just all about the Band-Aid. It's just all about the drug. God wants us to get to root causes. You can turn in your Bible, if you have one there, to 1 John 3. We'll come to that in just a second. But let me read this to you first. This is from Mr. Armstrong again. I think this is from 1954. He says, the Almighty God made the human body so that even though composed of material substance from the ground, its normal condition is one of robust, invigorating, radiant, good health. That's the normal condition. Robust, invigorating, radiant, good health. Now, there's obviously in our degenerate society, you can't attribute the dullness and the lethargy and the sickness and the disease. You can't attribute all of it to just the things we put in our mouths. In some cases, even some of the things that are supposed to be healthier are contaminated with all kinds of pesticides and whatever else. But that doesn't mean we just throw up our hands and say, well, forget about it. I'll just eat all the processed stuff with everyone else. There's degenerative diseases, certainly hereditary diseases that factor into this as well. But just focus for a moment on the normal condition. The same God who said that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, this same God says to us, look, it's normal. It's normal to live a robust and radiant life, physical life. Look at 1 John 3 here and verse 4, a familiar verse. It says, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of law. Sin is the transgression of law. So when we break physical laws, well, to back up, when we break spiritual laws, the wages for that, Romans 6:23, it's eternal death. Now, when we break physical laws, what we earn for that is physical sickness, disease. Mr. Armstrong wrote, physical sin is the transgression of physical law operating in the human body. It says, when a person is sick or has contracted a disease, he is simply paying the penalty of a transgressed physical law in his body. That's from The Plain Truth About Healing. So he says, even when you've contracted a disease, it's the penalty for transgressed physical law in your body. So he's wanting us, God is, to look at ourselves. He wants us, that again is the proper response. We look at this scare, and certainly the media has hyped it, as I've covered on programs recently. But it's also real, the disease. It's also highly contagious. And in some few cases, it's lethal. And so the proper response when we see this in our world today is to look at ourselves first. We don't do like they do in the world, where we point fingers at the governor over here didn't do this, he didn't have enough beds, we didn't get enough this from the federal government. He's preventing us from getting to this drug. He's saying, take this drug over here, but he's politically motivated. God wants for all of us to look at ourselves, cause and effect. Mr. Armstrong, he wrote in 1967, he was talking here about, you know, when to rely upon the medical profession. There, as he explained in his healing booklet, there are certainly certain times when you would lean on their expertise and help, like with setting a bone or something like that, if you had a break. But with respect to sickness and disease, Mr. Armstrong said in this same article, why not solve this whole question by avoiding the cause of sickness and disease and keeping healthy in the first place? Then there's no problem, is there? Then you don't have to worry about, well, should I seek medical attention for this or not, or just wait it out, or trust in God, or what should I do here? Well, even before all of that, he says, let's solve the whole question by avoiding the cause of disease. Then there's no problem, is there? There's no problem. Just back up to verse 2. This is in 1 John 3. It says here, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. This is God's awesome purpose. This is our incredible human potential. We're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is, it says. It says in verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. If you have this hope, if you have this vision, then you will purify yourself. My father in the last hour makes the point that you have to have the vision first. We have to have that motivation to understand why we're purifying ourselves, why it's imperative. And so spiritually, obviously, we're removing the sin from out of our lives. And as I've covered in this past week in the program, we're moving forward with Christ, seeking first the kingdom of God. We've got to have this vision of seeing where it all ends, where we're headed. But with respect to the physical, what is the vision that we have that motivates us to purify ourselves, to purify our physical bodies? Well, I think the vision can be summed up in that quote I gave you a moment ago from Mr. Armstrong, the one that says God made the human body so that even composed of material substance from the ground, its normal condition is one of robust, invigorating, radiant, good health. Now, that's what we're aiming for. That's the vision. That's what we want. That's what we're seeking after. If we want it, who doesn't want to live as a normal day-by-day condition in robust, invigorating physical health? We all want that. Well, then, what's the way to do it? How do we go about attaining that? Matthew 5:48, remember, says that we should seek perfection. Notice 1 Corinthians, this is chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Again, these are familiar verses here too. It says, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. So our body, our physical frame, it's a temple for the Holy Spirit. Mr. Armstrong in The Missing Dimension in Sex, he talked about the human mind and the human body as being the largest, most complicated machine, or rather, he says, the largest, most complicated machine man has designed, pales to insignificance beside the most wonderful of all mechanisms, the human body and mind. I mentioned that verse in Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. This physical mechanism, Mr. Armstrong went on to say, that it was the supreme masterpiece of God's creative handiwork. Pretty amazing. This temple, this sanctuary, this physical frame, its normal condition is one of robust, invigorating, radiant good health. Again, verse 19 says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you," verse 20, "for you are bought with a price." You're bought with a price. "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Glorify God in your body and spirit. We've been bought with a price. And what a weighty price that was. Again, we've just come out of Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And here is one of the lessons we take away from it all. We're not our own. We belong to God. We belong to Jesus Christ, slaves of Jesus Christ. And what a price the God family paid so that we could be servants of the great God. Notice Matthew 22. This is Christ speaking, summing up the commandments of God, or God's law, in these two great commands. Matthew 22, verse 36, it says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first great commandment," it says, "and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So notice there it says you love your neighbor as yourself as well. How do you love yourself without it turning into, you know, selfishness or self-glory? We love ourselves by presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to God and to His work. And that involves responsibly taking care of that wonderful mechanism, the human body and mind, keeping that sanctuary for the Holy Spirit, keeping it clean and pure, keeping it in a state where it's just normal. It's just normal to function with invigorating, energetic health. That's what we aim for. Now, this Satan-inspired society, Satan's the god of this world. There's a lot of impurities. There's a lot of ill health. There's a lot of self-love, and there's obviously a lot of physical sickness and disease as well. But Christ is saying, look, we have to love God and the God family more than ourselves. We have to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. We have to even love ourselves. Loving ourselves enough to be that living sacrifice for God. This is from Mr. Armstrong. He said this back in a sermon, 1982. So again, this goes back almost 40 years. And he's talking here about the human body being a temple for the Holy Spirit. Clip 4.
But you have to even love your own self, because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you need to take care of it. Be sure of the food you poke into it. Be sure of the kind of mental food you poke into your mind. And take care of this body. And most people don't. Most people don't know what they ought to eat. They've never studied to find out. An awful large, a very large percentage of people are way overweight. They eat too much. They abuse their bodies by eating too much. They feed their minds on the wrong kind of food. You don't even love yourself like God intended you to. But it's love to God and your neighbor as yourself. And it's a responsibility towards your own self.
He's talking there about a responsibility that we have in fulfilling these commands in Matthew 22, 1 Corinthians 6. Again, just think about the right response that we should have to this health crisis. Even in God's church, at God's college in particular, over the past year, we've even before COVID-19 came along, we've had some struggles with some health issues, and we've had a fair bit of quarantining going on to try to keep the spread of infectious disease from going further. But there's an individual responsibility that we all have as well. And I brought this out. It's interesting. And getting this ready, I looked through my sermon files to find some old messages I've given on health. And one of the more recent ones I've given, and this actually goes back quite a number of years, but it was in 2009. And I focused in that message about how our bodies are temples for the Holy Spirit, taken from that verse we just read in 1 Corinthians 6. And I said in that message that we had a lot of sickness, a lot of colds, and a lot of the flu going around campus. And of course, now that I've done so much research in the last 4 weeks about flu seasons and other epidemics, pandemics, now I look back on that and say, well, that was right in the middle of the swine flu that, again, hardly got any attention from the major media. But it did impact tens of millions of people, and tens of thousands of people died from it. They weren't trying to hype it, the media, back. In fact, they downplayed it. Quite a difference from the way they're handling this current crisis. In any event, the same instruction that I'm giving to you here today, it's the same instruction, really, that we all needed back in 2009. We saw some of our college students really being hit hard by the flu. A lot of sickness, and I noticed it, as I say. I noticed my wife remembers it from back then. I don't, but I noticed it in my notes just yesterday. My notes from 2009. What is the proper response? How do you respond when you're struck with something like this? I caught it. Somebody gave it to me. Somebody else gave this to me. Or do we respond with God's perspective and say, I'm to blame for this? In lesson 29 of the correspondence course, this one that I mentioned I was writing out through the spring holy days, this is right toward the end. This is the Passover lesson, and it's right toward the end of the lesson. And it says here, not until we repent of sin and believe God can we be forgiven. It says, Christ's sacrifice will be applied only to those who show by their actions that they are truly repentant. And then it goes on to talk about the meaning of repent or repentance, how that it means to turn or to change. But that statement in particular, Christ's sacrifice will be applied only to those who show by their actions that they are truly repentant. And the point that the correspondence lesson makes is that there's a lot of people in the world today who think that the sacrifice of Christ has been applied to them when it really hasn't, because there hasn't been the repentance, the change. Now, for those that observe the New Testament Passover, the way God commands us to do it, you know going into the Passover ceremony that sacrifice of Christ is divided into two. You have the broken bread before that you consume the wine, which typifies his shed blood. It symbolizes his blood. The bread symbolizes his broken body. His body was broken so that we might be healed of sickness and disease, injury. Upon, just to build on that quote I just gave to you, upon repentance. Here again, that sacrifice is applied only to those who show by their actions that they are truly repentant. So that's part of it here. Certainly we need the faith of Jesus Christ living in us. But we also need to demonstrate by our actions that we are truly repentant, that we're doing our part. This morning I was flipping through the Wonderful World of Tomorrow booklet, the one Mr. Armstrong wrote. What it will be like, there's a fantastic section in there. I hope that you'll read it later. It's in chapter 6. There's about 3-4 pages about the problem with the medical profession today and the solution to these problems. Now, the original version of this book was written in 1966. So we're going back more than 50 years. And you can take that section and just apply it to what we're seeing today with COVID-19, coronavirus. Notice what Mr. Armstrong said in my version here. It's on page 65. It says, with growing malnutrition and starvation comes the macabre threat of disease epidemics of massive worldwide proportions. So notice there the connection. He says, with growing malnutrition comes all of these disease epidemics. In other words, we open ourselves up to it. We make ourselves susceptible to disease epidemics because of the malnutrition. And isn't that what we're seeing with this coronavirus? Who are the targets? Primarily, there's always a few exceptions, and Mr. Armstrong brings this out in his literature. But again, looking at the vast majority, the most vulnerable. It says, already officials warn of the threat of vast epidemics of cholera, typhoid, tuberculosis, flu, or even the dreaded Black Death that took the lives of millions in Europe during the 15th through the 17th centuries, and in the huge plague that ravaged England in 1664 and 65. It says, but God says disease and sickness will finally be conquered. Well, what about that? How is disease and sickness going to be conquered? Is it possible? With God, it is. With man, it isn't. And yet man worships modern medicine. We see it here every evening with the NHS. People get out of their cars. They don't care about social distancing when they're cheering for the NHS. It's been around for decades, that nationalized healthcare system. And yet, look at all of our modern diseases that just keep getting worse and worse and worse. Heart disease, cancer, diabetes, lung disease. How much of it is preventable? Well, you heard that one commentator earlier on, that doctor from the 60 Minutes segment. Mr. Armstrong says, God says disease and sickness will finally be conquered. That is the express aim of all the vast medical and pharmaceutical companies today, the final conquering of the ills, sicknesses, and diseases of mankind. This is their aim, they say, their express aim. Now, I think he's giving them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm sure some of them are very, very sincere. But when you look at these big pharmaceutical companies, it's also pulling in billions and billions of dollars. And sure, they want a vaccine to work, but it also benefits them if people are sick, if people have underlying health conditions. Because the sicker we are, the more susceptible we'll be to infectious disease. And then when the infectious disease happens, you'll have the desperate attempts to come up with the vaccine so that tens of millions of people can pay for the vaccine. It says here, medical science seeks to find cures for sickness, cures for flu, and the common cold, cures for cancer, sclerosis, heart disease, arthritis, deafness, blindness, muscular dystrophy, epilepsy, and all the other pain-ridden debilities of man. He says, this is in the Wonderful World Tomorrow book. He says, let's understand the real meaning of this word cure. Do you realize that cures for diseases already contracted merely mean rendering God's laws ineffectual? It means ignoring the cause, allowing people to perpetrate the cause, and then treating only the effect. So in other words, get the drug, get the vaccine, so that you can just keep doing what you're doing. It says it means continuing to break nature's laws which God has made to operate in the human body, and then trying to prevent nature's laws from exacting their penalties. Like I say, this was written over 50 years ago, and it would be great if we could hear more of this on the nightly newscasts. This doctor from Massachusetts, he has a PhD at MIT. He's an inventor, an entrepreneur. He has a difficult last name, so I'll call him Dr. Shiva. This is sent to me by one of our listeners. In any event, he's now running for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts. I'm not sure how much of a chance he would have in Massachusetts. It's a pretty liberal state. But he's a medical expert that is concerned about the cause of sickness. There's not too many of them. And he understands that the president's administration in Washington, D.C. is surrounded by the ones that are more into the big pharmaceutical companies, the drugs, the vaccines, and so on. And when this epidemic broke out, I think going back to mid-March, late March, this doctor, Dr. Shiva, he actually wrote a letter to President Trump to give him his advice, and I'm not sure if the president considered it or not. But in this clip from an interview, this doctor here talks about modern medicine and the kind of education that most medical experts receive today. Here's clip one.
If you look, Christina, at the typical MD, many of them go into wanting to become a doctor out of some noble service. But fundamentally, the medical school education is really a big pharma medical education where the doctor is really trained, if this, then this. And the then is typically a pharmaceutical drug or some harsh medical intervention. Now, if you look at someone like a Fauci and Bricks, they're sort of at the top of their quote-unquote game, which means they're highly embedded into the big pharma model of medical education and the big pharma model of what the solution is. And that solution is typically a direct line from this disease, find typically a virus or a bug, and then recommend a vaccine or some harsh chemical solution. And most of that has to do with profiting the very, very big pharma companies.
So they receive very little, if any, education in just the basics of nutrition, the basic health laws, or if they do know it, they don't get up and talk about it. I always kind of marvel at some of these experts that they themselves look fairly fit, and yet you don't hear anything from them about the cause of sickness. Mr. Armstrong said, do you realize that cures for diseases already contracted merely mean rendering God's laws ineffectual? This is what I just read. It means ignoring the cause, allowing people to perpetrate the cause, and then treating only the effect. Now, they're all in this modern age of medicine, they are all invested in this heavily. And everyone benefits. The experts, the pharmaceutical companies, the hospitals. The more people are sick, the more business they have. And so we go on, most people, we just load our bodies with all these deleterious toxins and then just put our lives in the hands of these medical experts for some drug or operation that maybe will give us some temporary relief. I played that clip from the CrossFit founder a couple weeks back where he said that if we don't have the right kind of behavior up front with respect to our diet and exercise, then we're going to end up being medically babysat. We're going to be babysat by modern medicine. And that's very similar to what Mr. Armstrong said. Look, why not address the cause? And then you don't have to worry about the medical profession altogether. Going back to the World Tomorrow book, it says, God shows that when his kingdom rules, he will teach people to obey nature's laws to stop causing sickness and disease. In other words, to stop sinning. It says, God reveals a great result of the increased productivity of the land and the abundance of right and good foods, together with right knowledge and education and health laws. It says, will be good health for all. The dream of conscientious doctors may be to put themselves out of a job by finding cures for every sickness and disease. But let's face it, to ignore the cause and merely treat the effect, to tacitly encourage people to continue causing sickness and disease by neglecting to educate them against it, could only perpetuate the medical profession. Can we have utopia with people causing themselves sickness and disease, secure in the delusion that medical science can remove the penalty? Can that really bring about utopia, a vaccine, even as people go on abusing themselves and bringing on all of these underlying conditions? The strategy for the current pandemic, the strategy we're in the midst of right now, total lockdown, social separation, and so on, the strategy is to put off the effect long enough until we can come up with a vaccine, and the vaccine will solve the problem. That's the approach that we're taking. And Dr. Shiva, by the way, he doesn't agree at all with the social isolation, the social distancing, staying inside, and so on. He talks some in this interview about that, clip two.
One of the two most disastrous things here are we're socially distancing people and hiding them. Go look at the research, a landmark study. When you isolate people, that is one of worse than the detriments from obesity, smoking, and heart disease. Social isolation actually leads to upregulation of inflammatory compounds in the body and downregulation of antiviral compounds. So you're basically increasing the person for viral infection by the amount of stress you're causing them from social isolation. And separate from that, we're telling people not to go out in the sun, which is vitamin D. Vitamin D is an antimicrobial. Mm-hmm. So this is essentially a recipe for actually hurting people, not really supporting them, but all brought to you under the rubric. And, you know, media says it over and over again, social distancing, flatten the curve. And this is sort of the nonsensical mm-hmm. science that Fauci is expounding. And it's what needs to be exposed. And really what we really need to talk about, if we truly care about public health, is building up people's immune system. But that's not what Fauci and company are concerned about. Their model is big ag, which dirty air, dirty water, dirty food. They want people to consume not food that's healthy for them. And then the solution is vaccine mandates.
That last bit there, vaccine mandates. If you're paying attention, you can see where this is headed. Maybe, again, maybe you can sit back and think, well, but I'm in America. Nobody's going to force me to take this or that. And every year, of course, even with flu vaccines, half of America doesn't get the vaccine. So you can go get it if you want. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. But is there coming a time when, whether in the UK or Europe, maybe even America, where it is forced, it is mandated? Because things are being mandated right now that just a little over a month ago, we never could have imagined. It would have been unthinkable to just have a total shutdown. Sam was saying he spent a fair bit of time in the hospital in Oklahoma City last year. because of his baby's premature birth, and he and his wife were just absolutely shocked at how little the people at the hospital understood about basic nutrition. Now, he said they were some of the nicest people in the world, and so they're well-meaning, so many of them. They're trying hard. They know a lot about. But think about working in a hospital and knowing practically nothing about nutrition, about the cause of sickness, about the cause of disease. Go into a hospital sometime, just for a visit, not for other things, but just go into the cafeteria. Take a look at what they're serving. Look at the vending machines. Shouldn't it just be healthy snacks? Shouldn't your first meeting at a hospital be with a nutrition expert who says, all right, you've got these issues, let's look at root causes. But you don't get any of that there. It's just like Dr. Shiva says there. It's all about the drug. It's all about the vaccine. In the Wonderful World Tomorrow book, it says, in God's new world tomorrow, there will indeed probably be a place for doctors, but it will be teaching people to keep well by avoiding the causes of disease. They will require an entirely new type of medical education, only we shall then drop the term medical. A very good doctor friend once said to me, we physicians have been kept so busy treating the sicknesses and diseases that we haven't had much time to do extensive study and research into the causes of these troubles. It says in God's new world, they will be given ample time for that. You see, in God's world, in God's coming world, education is the key. They're going to be given time to be educated. Today, they're not even educated in it. They're so busy. They're so busy treating sickness and disease. They know virtually nothing about the cause of sickness and disease. One final clip here from Dr. Shiva. This is clip 3.
Look, the real solution, Christina, as any solution to any pathogen, we need to understand that the medical establishment, the pharmaceutical medical establishment for hundreds of years has built its entire foundation of always blaming a virus or a germ. Always. So when scurvy came around, remember scurvy when people's teeth would fall out and they had bleeding gums? Oh, it must be a virus. Well, it was deficiency in vitamin C 100 years later, when even people on the ground knew it. Mm-hmm. When pellagra came out, which was when people's skin and everything would get all dry, horribly dry, and like eczema, ultimate conditions. Oh, it must be the Italians who are coming over the ship. They're bringing some dirty germs, and we need to quarantine them. Well, it turned out it was a deficiency in niacin, so on. So what we're seeing here is the virus hunters, the bacterial hunters creating fear. So the real solution, number one, is to recognize that the immune system is quite strong. We're actually a walking ecosystem of germs, 380 trillion viruses, 60 trillion bacteria among the 6 trillion cells. There's viruses all around us. The reality is a strong immune system always handles this beautifully. It's the weakened immune system. So all those masks and all this stuff, people didn't wear this for humanity, okay? The issue is, how do you beef up the immune system? As I wrote to the president, mm-hmm. vitamin D. Vitamin D is an antimicrobial. Why do you think in many of these hot countries we don't hear any about this? Vitamin A, which is all from the rich leafy green, dark green vegetables and fruits. That supports mm-hmm. your body to create keratin, cytokeratins through vitamin A, which protects your cells. So these are the two foundation pillars. Yet Fauci and Briggs do not talk anything about that, because a V in vitamin is an anathema for their vaccines. And same with the V in vitamin C is an anathema for their ventilators. You see, it's ventilators and vaccines. Yeah. And this is big pharma.
Ventilators and vaccines, not vitamins, not the health laws as revealed in your Bible, really even common sense. It's all about the medical profession for most of them. There's a few rare exceptions. Now, this particular doctor, he may not understand all of the truth that God has revealed, But certainly some of what he's saying there, it aligns better with what you read in The Wonderful World Tomorrow than anything you hear from so many of the other experts that are getting a lot of time on television. Listen to Mr. Armstrong. He says, in The World Tomorrow, there actually will be utopia. There will be universal good health. How can such utopian dreams come true? It's simple. Remove the cause of disease. It's so simple, the formula. Remove the cause of disease. But how's that going to be done? Two ways, he says. First, by right education, cause people to know that God did not design the human physical body so that it must be getting sick all the time, catching continual diseases. Sickness and disease occur only when nature's laws are broken. It is not natural to be diseased. It is unnatural. Educate people in the laws of good health and proper diet. God designed certain foods for good health. Some things that grow are not designed for food. Some are poison. Educate people in sanitation, hygiene, required amounts of sleep, pure water, fresh air, sunshine, exercise. These are the basics. He's just rattling off the laws of radiant health. And you can get to more of that, more instruction on that in other literature. But how important is it to be educated in the truth about proper food? Mr. Armstrong also wrote a lot about the acid-alkaline balance and how that we need to strive for meals that are more alkaline-based so that we can keep our bodies purified, so that we can cleanse the inside part of our body. We spend so much time cleaning the outside. That's a strength in our modern age. Somewhat hygiene, cleanliness, certainly it's made easy in the West with showers, baths, and all that. But how much time do we put into cleaning the inside? That's what made us, you just cringed at this footage of them extracting teeth out of these little two-year-olds. Rotten teeth, blackened teeth. And then you thought, well, what is their diet doing to the inside of their bodies? What is all of that sugar doing to their vital organs? Forget about a tooth or two. Proper balance, alkaline, acid, eating whole foods, and trying and trying and trying with all of our might to just fill up on vegetables, fruits and vegetables, but especially vegetables. Green leafy vegetables, so that we can pump our bodies full of the vitamins that they need. Vitamin C in particular is perhaps more commonly known as the one that boosts the immune system. Dr. Shiva mentioned vitamin D from sunshine. You get vitamin C mainly from fruits and vegetables. And my wife in her nutrition class, she cites a source that recommends 7 to 10 cups of greens every day. 7 to 10 cups, that seems like a lot. It means you'd have to get some in at every meal, a fair bit, to even come close to that. There's some people that even that avidly follow the literature of the church that absolutely detest vegetables, that don't want vegetables at all. Well, you're denying yourself. If you take that approach, you're denying yourself of a simple way to boost the immune system. A couple weeks ago, I emphasized the importance of exercise. Even that, it's like a natural detox, especially if you do it outside, but just the heavy breathing and sweating and so on. You're moving the lymph system and such. It has a way of alkalizing the body. And of course, added to that, you're just strengthening muscle, which is important as well. If you do it outside, you're going to get a lot more oxygen, breathing deeply into your lungs. Very healthful. Sunshine, Dr. Shiva mentioned the benefits of that, the vitamin D. Getting outside, not going inside, but going outside for the sunlight, for the fresh air. You can get vitamin D from some vegetables, but they're not real common today, not in the Western diet. The best way to do it is to spend some time outdoors. Now, obviously, you don't want to go overboard. You don't want to burn your skin. But every now and again, 20, 30 minutes of sun, 20, 30 minutes of sunlight. Pure water. He mentioned that, Mr. Armstrong did. Your body is two-thirds, three-fourths water as it is. Water is a natural purifying agent. We need it daily. There was an example in that New Zealand documentary, by the way, this school, a little grade school, where they just had a lot of trouble with pre-diabetic children, obese children. They banned soda drinks. And also, somehow or another, in working with the parents, they got them to improve the food as well that came with the lunches each day. But these children, they went from sodas to water for their lunch. And these instructors said they noticed a difference immediately. Immediately. Out on the playground, in PE. How come we don't hear more about this? How come it happens in one small school somewhere on the other side of the world, but just like the motivation factor, the goal back in the 60s, it was for this to sweep right across the nation. But of course, it just kind of drowns underneath all the other noise, all the other influences, all the other bad habits. Sleep is critically important. Sleep has a huge impact on your immune system. The best thing to do if you feel like something's coming on, a cold or whatever, is to go right to sleep, to go right to bed, to go to bed early. Having a positive mental attitude is important. Merry heart makes like a good medicine. That's in the Proverbs. Occasional fasting. Mr. Armstrong wrote about that back in the 1950s. But he rattled them off. It's right there in the World Tomorrow book. These are the basics that we're going to be teaching all of mankind. Proper food, pure water, pure air, sufficient exercise, sleep, hygiene, bathing, elimination as well. That's part of it. A positive, cheerful attitude. All these laws of radiant health. Mr. Armstrong said this, of course, it is true that even many, if not most doctors know so little about proper food and diet that they are unable themselves to observe the dietary law of health. That law is the one most frequently broken. The physicians, the doctors themselves are sometimes in the worst shape. Not always, but sometimes, and you'll see it the moment you walk into a hospital. Laws of radiant health. Let's bring it to the conclusion here in the World Tomorrow book. It says, secondly, the first one being right education. How are we going to bring about a utopia where everyone's living in good health, robust, energetic, healthful living? How is it possible? Well, number one, right education. And then number two, it says, when people, in spite of this education, do get sick or catch a disease, it can be healed God's way. Actually, Christ's healing is forgiveness of sin. It works on a principle exactly opposite to the supposed cures of medical science. The medical equation is this. One poison in your body plus one poison in the form of medicine equals no poisons. One plus one equals nothing? That isn't the way they teach in second grade arithmetic. God's equation is different. God supernaturally removes the poison in the body. One minus one equals nothing. The second grader could figure that one out. It says, but does God then prevent his laws of nature from working, from exacting their penalty? Oh no, not at all. It says, upon repentance and faith, God forgives the sin and removes the penalty. How? Why? Because Jesus himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You see, it's by those stripes that we are healed. So right education, and then secondly, divine healing upon repentance and faith. It is possible, to build a utopia in which everyone is living a joyous, abundant life, like Jesus said he came to give us. The Apostle John said, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. Above all things, I want for you to be healthy and prosperous. That's 3 John in verse 2. Let's conclude over in Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33, this is a millennial passage. This is describing the society that Mr. Armstrong described in the Wonderful World Tomorrow book. It says in verse 21, "But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." Verse 24 says, "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity." Yes, indeed, sickness and disease, a thing of the past by this point. As Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages, the combined force of right education about true health and healing of all sickness, when it is repented of, will mean perfect, utopian health. That's what's coming. That's what's coming in God's future world. As Mr. Armstrong said, going back to the Wonderful World Tomorrow book, why not have good health? Why should we be so willing to believe such a perfect state of health and joy is impossible? He says, finally, there are blessings for observing the laws of health, absolute guarantees good health will result, and that sickness and disease will become a thing of the past. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We thank you for joining us on another special Sabbath broadcast. We'll be back to our normal time on Monday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time in the United States, and of course 1 p.m. here in the UK. If you'd like to leave us some feedback, you can send emails to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you Monday.